The area mostly functions as a single jurisdiction for international travel. And so let's see, who are the members? The current members are Austria, Belgium, Czech Republic, Denmark.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. All right. Well, hello. It is 1903 UTC. Beautiful day here in Austin, Texas. It's January the 31st, 2024. It's 22 degrees outside, high of 23, low of 6. I closed my window last night. It was chilly. thank you for being here today. Kind of a new dawn, a new day, you know. Stuff at work has been making me feel a kind of way.
I need to write this down. I'll probably forget, but
I'm in a weird emotional state today. Got a lot of anxiety. But hey, you know what? We're making it. We're powering through. If you want to chat during the show, that's totally fine and encouraged, actually. Listening to some of the replays lately, or the recent ones, it's like there's a lot of calm talking back and forth with calm. So if you would like to do that, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org. If you don't have an account yet, you can use new at sdf.org when you SSH over and fill out the sign-up form. You can also use tty.sdf.org. If you want to bounce around on the cluster, or if you have trouble with one or the other nodes or whatever. Once you're over, just launch COM by typing COM, press enter, and you press G for go to, and then type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word, and you'll be hanging out with the cool people in COM. Kind of like, let's see, we got Ratsu, who is a Smalltalk fan. Let's see. We also got, let's see, Ratsu, Dokum is in the house, let's see, Ratsu, P. Waters, 8827, Smalltalk is still used out there in the world, Jay LaMoth is in the house, WX Boss, sure X1 will be around, but yeah, it is weird, the number of languages, every language that has existed, it seems like, is running somewhere. I'm sure there's still Fortran and COBOL running around, so you never know. There's lots of cool stuff out there. Whether or not there's a job for it, that's a separate question, separate problem. Ooh, oh man, my nose is a little stuffy, but we're gonna power through because we got news. I wanted to start today with some fact checks, or kind of heads up, because I kind of cover the news that I think is neat, but some of these, sometimes the widespread news is maybe wrong or biased in a strong way. One of these is about school shootings. Different definitions of a school shooting are contributing to misinformation around the issue. There are several efforts to track the number of school shootings in the U.S. One of them counted 346 school shootings in 2023. Another group only counted 37. Both have been cited in media reports. The larger one is more often quoted, but the discrepancies rarely explained. How are they so different? The Violence Project sounds like news to me. The Violence Project's an independent operation run by data scientist David Reedman, and he has a K-12 school shooting database. The tracker includes any incident in which a gun is brandished, is fired, or a bullet hits school property for any reason, regardless of the numbers of victims or day of the week. It counted 346 incidents in 2023 and counted 9 in the first 12 days of 2024. Education Week is known for having a center kind of bias, so it's a centrist kind of place. A news organization uses more limited criteria. It counts incidents where a firearm was discharged, where any individual other than the suspect or perpetrator has a bullet wound resulting from the incident, that happened on K-12 school property or on a school bus, and that occur while school is in session or during school-sponsored events. Tracker counted 37 incidents in 2023. Everytown is an activist group that pushes for gun safety, and it has its own tracker, which includes every time a firearm discharges a live round inside or into a school building or onto a school campus or grounds. As of January 12th, it counted one incident in 2024, the school shooting in Iowa. When the average person reads about the number of school shootings, they're likely imagining a scenario closer to the one encountered by Education Week or Everytown, in which people were injured or killed by gunfire. But the K-12 Violence Project tracker is cited far more often in media reports. Nearly 350 school shooting incidents occurred across the U.S. in 2023, data shows, according to U.S. News and World Report, which has a more left bias. There were 346 incidents in which a gun was brandished or fired at school or bullet hit school property, according to the K-12 school shooting database. That was the highest of any year in the website's data, reported by Reuters. With a little less than 2 weeks remaining in the year, some 340 school shootings, and this was reported by K-12 Dive, and K-12, like a trade magazine. These reports mention the Violence Project Tracker's broad criteria, but don't mention the other data sources. The more extreme statistics get more clicks, a phenomenon known as sensationalism. In this case, using more dire numbers could be a sign of negativity, in which reporters emphasize bad news. When the average common adage is, if it bleeds, it leads. Unfortunately, many modern media business models are built on this. Don't let that prevent you from seeing the full picture. Read multiple sources and compare coverage to get a broader view and decide for yourself. Whew, sorry I had to do that whole long thing, but I think it's important that we, as consumers of news, be aware of that, that fact. You know, anytime you see anything that, if you're reading news and you get an emotional response, or you feel yourself having a kind of like, wow moment, check out other news sources. Try and dig around and research that a bit, because like we saw here with school shootings, 340, whoa, what is going on? And then if you drill down, it's like, okay, well, 30 of them were kind of the way, the ones that I was thinking of when I think of school shooting. Let's go on here. Let's see what's going on in comp. Jay LaMoth asking, how are there different definitions of school shooting? Oop, am I back? Oh, there we go.
Painful story there. So let's jump into some well, you know what? It's about that time.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We're going to play a song, and then we'll get into some cool kind of tech related stories that I think are pretty rad. Not that. What are they called? Oh, it's kind of in line with the political news.
All right, there we go. So I found the wireless lapel mic, but wouldn't you know it, if you lose something that's tiny and has a small battery, the battery might die on you. So that's what happened there. Jumping back into comm here, let's see what we got going on. How are there different definitions of school shooting? If someone fires a weapon at a school, it's a school shooting. Let's see, P. Waters, I can believe that, Ratsu. School shooting. Get a life outside of school to practice your sporting activity. school shootings aren't a laughing matter, X1. hey, P. Waters 8827. Very serious business. Not that button. Oh, in and out. Yeah, Jeff is here. Yep. So what had happened was the battery died on the microphone. And then as I would try and turn it on, and it would turn on and then it would die. Turn on and then die. So I should be back live. Jay LaMoth. Hello. Hello. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Boop, 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 boop. All right. Confusion reigns. chaos reigns. All right. And the Z-Man's in the house. So hello, everyone. Sorry about that. So yeah, the database, I just think it's important for us to be aware, right? Like, there are all these databases out there that media, newspapers are cheap. Like, the media, it's like, oh, why is there a 24-hour news channel? Oh, because it's the cheapest possible thing you can produce. You just pay a guy to sit there, and then you have journalists going around collecting data, but if they can find the data somewhere else, they'll use that aggregated data if they think it's reliable. But yeah, then you end up with sensational stories like that. So just as a heads up, just be mindful. And yeah, if you shoot near a school, if you shoot a gun near a school, hey, you might increase the numbers either way. Thanks, WX Boss. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Ratsu. All right. So yeah, so that's what's going on there with school shootings. But that's not the only bias article that came up in my searching today. And really, the reason to bring it up is because there is a pretty cool article I saw that was talking about how... I got a pop-up video advertisement. I'm like, why is there a video? Because it's Newsweek, that's why. Sorry. I'm using a site I don't normally use. But essentially, I saw a few articles. They were talking about tanks on the Texas border. Like military tanks. And it got me a little concerned because the United States and Texas have been arguing over border security, and the state of Texas has been denying the federal government access to the United States' border. Anyway, Texas is dumb, and if Texas moves to secede, I guess I gotta move. I don't know what that does to my mortgage. If I sell my place, who's going to buy it? Am I just trapped here because I couldn't sell my place? I'm sure that my company, my job would probably, I don't know. It's kind of a question mark, right? Like, what would happen? But anyway, I probably don't have to worry about that too much yet. The border showdown between Texas, Governor Greg Abbott and the White House continues to intensify, with Abbott claiming he has a plan to, quote, secure our border in the event President Joe Biden decides to take control of the Texas National Guard. The standoff escalated last week after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that federal border agents could remove razor wire installed by Abbott, sparking defiance from the governor and other Republicans and increasing calls from Democrats for the president to federalize the National Guard. As the row continues, social media users have posted a video they claimed showed tanks being operated near the U.S.-Mexico border. A post on Twitter on January 29th, which was viewed by 75,000 different people, including me, showed a video of police blocking traffic as a group of tanks drove over a desert highway. The question I have, are these tanks for defense against illegal immigration, or is there something more? That was kind of the tweet, right? Well, Newsweek found that the video was recorded in Chile, near the city of Antofagasta, at least 2 months ago. The video was also shared on Russian Telegram channels, and it was posted in English-language posts elsewhere. A translation of the post said, "The situation in Texas is something like this." And National Guard soldiers from all over the country have arrived in the southern state and are patrolling the borders and installing fences. However, reverse image search shows the original clip was shared on TikTok in October of 2023 and viewed more than a million times. The title of the video says, "Video of tanks, of Leopard tanks in Chile." And this version, assigned by the side of the road, says EST O'Higgins in Calama. Calama is another city in northern Chile, northeast of Antofagasta. So yeah, just be aware. It was just something that really, I was like, it was so it was close enough to the truth that it almost got me. So let's see what we got going on. It is BS. Say, Quentin's in the house. Alrighty, let's see what going here. Yeah, the site formerly known as Twitter, that's right. Let's see, a lot of the time half it's just people quoting Twitter these days. Yeah, that's true too. P. Waters believes the issue is that parents don't correctly secure their guns, and their children, who may or may not have mental health issues, as we have seen. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you could take that approach. I think that it's probably a good idea to not give kids guns, and don't give kids guns like they did in Iowa, and also like don't put guns in schools. Why have armed teachers anyway? There's a whole bunch of stuff. I think there's some philosophical disagreement maybe brewing. Oh, Publius is in the house. Hello, welcome, welcome. Perhaps the solution is stronger regulation. let's see what we going on here. Publius, Greg Abbott's contempt for his oath to uphold the Constitution is exceeded only by his contempt for basic human decency. Yeah, I'm sorry. Fake news on Twitter, very shocking. Very shocking indeed. Yes, indeed. Ryan... Okay, somebody says a YouTube recommendation, breaking down the story. Oh, look, my dad wouldn't have been caught by that. He can identify every tank and armored fighting vehicle in the world. Oh, so fun. Alrighty. quote, well-regulated militia. So we'll see what's going on. What kind of regulations you think are required for a militia, that's a whole other debate. But it's 1919 UTC, so I just want to remind you, in 11 minutes, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe coming up. It's a fun show. There's every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. Our thoughts and prayers and all of that positive energy going Tobe's way. Anyway, just thinking about you, buddy. Hope you feel better soon. Also... it is, Wednesday? You can always press equal sign in com or go to anonradio.net to see the full schedule of what's going on coming up on your radio station. Anon Radio, powered by SDF. SDF, powered by you. So thank you for being here and hanging out and all that jazz. We got Sounds of Synergy coming up from DOJ Cinesphere at 2100. And at 00... So midnight, technically, UTC, Lit Up on Linux, followed by Special Ed. Those are some fun shows there coming up soon. Yep, and indeed, it is officially Wednesday. All right. Yeah, I'm not sleeping well. My hours are all over the place. I believe this is the beginning of a shift. I don't know if I'll be very... I don't know. I'm worried. I'm going to go into a mood soon, and it's troubling. Alrighty, well, let me talk about some stuff that I think is cool, because we've only got 10 minutes to go, and there's so much news, it's hard to fit it all in, but I wanted to be sure and give you the fact check, don't fall for it kind of warning. Here we go, let's talk about some nuclear stuff, because this is kind of, I thought this was useful. At 4:01... Moscow time, so 4 a.m. Moscow time, on January 31st, the second unit at the Kursk nuclear power plant, an RBMK, that's Romeo Bravo Mike Kilo, 1000 reactor, came to the end of its service life and stopped generating power. It began commercial operation in 1979. Alexander Shudakov, director general of Rosenergoatom, said, during the period of operation and generation mode, the second power unit generated more than 256 billion kilowatts of electricity, kilowatt hours of electricity. This volume is sufficient to ensure the current level of electricity consumption for 4.3 million Russian residents over the entire 45-year operating life of the power unit. The first unit at Kursk was shut down in December 2021. The original design for the RBMK-1000 reactors at the plant was for 30 years, but it had been extended by 15 years following life extension programs. Although the second unit is no longer generating power for the grid, it is considered to be in operation without generation until nuclear fuel is completely removed, which in the first unit's case was 2 years after it was retired. As in the case of Power Unit 1, which was shut down in December 2021, normal operations will be carried out at the second unit in the future, which in fact are practically no different from regular scheduled shutdowns. All the four units at Kursk are scheduled to be shut down by 2031. They're being replaced by new reactors at the Kursk 2 site, which is next to the original plant in western Russia, about 60 kilometers from the Ukrainian border. It will feature four VVER, so that's Victor Victor Echo Romeo hyphen TOI, that's Tango Oscar India, reactors, the latest version of Russia's large light water designs. They have upgraded pressure vessels and a high power rating of 3,300 megawatts thermal, MWT. That enables them to generate 1,300 megawatts E, or MWE, gross electricity. So I thought that was interesting and a good thing to point out. Hey, these guys are retiring, but they're replacing them. Let's see what we got going on in calm. I've loaded Xubuntu, or XFCE Ubuntu, on the ThinkPad X1 Carbon that my dad gave me, despite the Carbon having 16 gigs of RAM and 512 gig SATA drive. Alright, that's cool. I like XFCE. When you put it on anything, it makes it feel like it's running a million miles an hour. It's super cool. Publius, there's actually a long-running controversy because, on the one hand, the NATO member states have wanted U.S. nuclear weapons based in their country as a guarantee that they were actually covered by deterrence. On the other hand, they're kind of uneasy about it. Kursk 2 was, in effect, an older sibling of Chernobyl. Oh, that's interesting. And RBMK, a scaled-up version of a reactor from a nuclear submarine. Ooh, that's interesting. Unlike with pressure vessel reactors, the fuel has to be taken out one channel at a time. Oh, no. RBMK type is vaguely based on the Obninsk prototype reactor. And let's see. Oh, it's more closely related to the plutonium production piles at Hanford than to the type of reactors used in ships. The VVER, similar to the Western PWR design. Man, Publius is a wealth of knowledge about the nuclear power and nuclear reactors. Check out his Patreon, or so you can get a blast. What else? Oh, in Ontario, ministers confirmed Pickering refurbishment plans. So, again, keeping in nuclear land, the provincial government is supporting Ontario Power Generation, OPG, to go ahead with the refurbishment of units 5 through 8 at the Pickering Nuclear Power Plant. OPG will now begin the initiation phase of the project. Announcing government support for the plan, Ontario Ministry of Energy Todd Smith said refurbishing the four CANDU units, it's C-A-N-D-U units, would enable the plant to produce at least another 30 years of safe, reliable, and clean electricity while creating thousands of new jobs. With global businesses looking to expand in jurisdiction with reliable, affordable, and clean electricity, a refurbished Pickering Nuclear Generation Station would help Ontario compete for and land more game-changing investments. So, way to go, Ontario. I just thought that was good news in the nuclear space. Speaking of space, Starlab commercial space station to launch on Starship. What does that mean? These are a bunch of commercial names for stuff. So Starlab Space is a joint venture developing the Starlab commercial space station, and they've selected SpaceX's Starship to launch the station on a single flight. Starlab Space is a joint venture of Voyager Space and Airbus Space and Defense, and it was announced today. It reached an agreement with SpaceX to launch the Starlab station on Starship. So the companies did not disclose terms of the agreement or a projected launch date, although a spokesperson said the company was confident Starlab could be launched before the decommissioning of the ISS, which is scheduled for 2030. Drink a little water. 2030, 6 years away. So hopefully they get there sometime before then. Oh, we got more activity in comm. Let's see what's going on. Let's see. I would like to refer you to my Man and Adam briefing book for an illustration and summary details, but of course you don't have it in front of you. Yeah, it's true. I'm sorry about that. Oh, cool. Zierhoff in the house. I was misremembering something from Midnight at Chernobyl, I think. Pickering is very cool. The shame is that the Three Mile Island was another nuclear power station that had a meltdown in one of its cores. Or was it the whole entire plant? I can't remember. Let's see. Early Russian submarine operators did train at Obninsk, but it wasn't very similar to what they ended up working on. Starlab, Part 2. Yep. TMI, Unit 2 suffered a partial melt of fuel following a failure in the steam generation system. If only TMI Unit 2 had less information. F-Fog in the house. Thank you. Gosh, sorry. I got sucked into calm. But we had two nuclear stories. We had a space story. I think the only other space piece of news for you is Lockheed Martin's misplaced satellite is going to fall back to Earth next month. An electronically steerable antenna payload demonstrator launched December 22nd on a Firefly rocket. Despite a much shorter than expected mission, the company said it successfully demonstrated the ESA capability under a tightened timeline. So they're going to send it back down to Earth. I don't know I don't know if there's a recovery process, but it just seems like we're throwing a lot of stuff to burn up in the atmosphere, a lot of metal and plastics. And I just wonder, what kind of pollution is that? Who knows? Anyway, it's 1929, so 1930 coming up in just a moment. Hopefully we get more Dubious Goals, but if not, it'll be a fun repeat. Either way, stick around. Dubious Goals Committee coming up next. And thanks for being here. I'll be back tomorrow with more news for you. Oh, wow. Once upon a time, we used to use the space shuttle to retrieve satellites that had problems. That's pretty cool. Oh, we got a few seconds. The Dubious Goals Committee coming up next. This has been News to Me with DJ Marcus every Monday through Friday at 1900 UTC.